I've just got one verse to read actually tonight, which is in Luke chapter 19, which is on page 1254. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. It's quite a well-known verse. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I was reading an article in a magazine the other day by a man called Bear Grylls, who some of you might know. If you haven't heard of him, he's an adventurer. He's a guy that has been all over the world. He's been to the top of Everest, he's been to Antarctica, he's been to the Arctic, he's climbed mountains, been in the middle of deserts. And he has an article in the magazine, and he was describing about what to do if you're stuck in the middle of a desert. And he asked a question in this article. He said, if you were stuck in the middle of a desert and you could have one item, what would you have with you? In order to survive, what would this one item be? And obviously, perhaps the first thing that you think of would be, well, probably some water. But he was saying that actually, if you're stuck in the middle of a desert, there's no way that you'd be able to carry enough water to survive in your journey out. Maybe you're thinking, mobile phone? No, there wouldn't be any signal. Food? Again, same problem with the water. And this article said at the end of it that the best thing that you can have in a desert in order to survive is a mirror. And you might be thinking, what? Why would you need a mirror in the middle of a desert? And he was saying, well, actually, if you're stuck in a situation like that, you can't really help yourself. You can't carry enough water, you can't carry enough food. The only thing that you can do is to try and signal to somebody using the mirror to reflect the sun. And he was saying that if you're lost, the best thing to do is to call for help using, he said in this situation, the mirror. And it says here that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not lost. I know exactly where I am. I'm in Basildon, I'm in this room, I'm not lost. But this passage in Luke 19 is not talking about being physically lost. It's talking about being spiritually lost, being lost in terms of your relationship with God. Because you see, we're all lost. We've all wandered away from God. And we've wandered away from God because we're all sinners. And you've probably heard countless people stand behind this desk and talk about sin. This three-letter word that seems to crop up in every single gospel preaching. Because what an important part of the gospel it is to understand that we do things wrong. That we've wandered away from God because we've done things wrong. We've messed up. We've done so many things in our lives that we know are against God. Think back, you know, if I think back over today or this week, the amount of things that I've done or said or thought that I know are wrong. Think back further on, this year, my whole life, they stack up. Countless things that I've done wrong in my life. And they're all counting against God's perfect standard. We're all in this same boat together. The Bible says that all men have sinned. Every single person. There's no exception in this room tonight. Me included. Every single person come under this same title of being called a sinner. And what a terrible position it is to be in, to be a sinner before God. Because if we're honest, we all want to go to heaven, don't we? We all want to be in heaven when we die. We all want to go and see God. We want to be in God's presence to enjoy his blessings. We don't want to go to hell, the other place that God's prepared. There's heaven or there's hell. We all want to go to heaven. And God wants you to go to heaven. You know, have you ever thought about that? That God desires you. He wants you to be in his presence. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think of when perhaps you're thinking, well, no one really cares about me. God cares about you. God loves you. And God wants you to come into his presence, to enjoy everything that he's got prepared for you. He wants you to come into heaven and be there and to enjoy everything that he's got prepared for you. But there is a problem. Because this problem is, we come back to it, this three-letter word of sin. Because God is a loving God. God is a, it says in, later on, I think it's in John, where God is love. God loves you so much, but God also is a holy God, which means that he can't have sin in his presence, which means he can't have us in his presence as sinners. Because if you've ever done the experiment at school where you have a little bit of water in a pot and you pour some oil into it, and the oil and the water will never mix. No matter how much you stir it up or mix it or shake it, the oil and the water will always separate. And that's what it's like with God and sin. God can't come close to sin. He can't. It said that God absolutely hates sin. He loves you so much, but he hates sin. The very thing that we have inside each and every one of us. He hates it, and he can't come close to it, can't be seen near it. So what's to be done? We want to go to heaven. We want to enjoy everything that God wants to bless us with. God wants to bless us. But there's this gap, there's this barrier that's between you and God, me and God tonight. And what's going to be done about it? Well, God, as I said, is a God of love. And when you read the Bible, you get this coming time and time again, that God loves you, and he's loved you so much that it says here, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. God loved you so much that he sent his Son. That's the Son of Man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. God planned this great rescue mission, this great idea to save you, so that this gap, this massive valley that is between you and God, can be completely removed. And he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says he came here to seek and to save. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was down here, it says that he did many great things. He did many miracles. He did many, he's told many great parables, many great stories. Everything he did was, you know, the Bible, it says actually, and I think it's the end of John, where if everything that was written down about the Lord Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be enough books in this entire world that would capture everything that he did. He was so fantastic and unique in everything that he did. We only know a small part of what he said and what he did that's recorded in here, because we physically don't have the pages or the paper in this world to record everything that he did. You know, just think about that. Think about the amazing things that he must have done. And he came here with not just the purpose of doing all these great miracles or these great parables. He came here with one thing in mind, and that was to die on a cross at Calvary. Why did he have to die on a cross at Calvary? Well, he had to die on that cross and shed his precious blood so that God would have a righteous basis on which he could come out and forgive you of your sins. As I said, God can't come near sin. Something had to be done. A sacrifice had to be made. And that sacrifice was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that sacrifice so that God could move out towards you in love. That gap, that valley can be removed, and God can come out to you tonight and forgive you of everything that you've ever done. I said earlier about that long list of things that I've done in my life. I know each and every one of those things has been forgiven because I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like it tonight? If you think back of all the things that you've done in your life, wouldn't you like it if they were wiped completely away? Clean. It says in Isaiah, I think it is, though our sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. You think of all your sins that you've done, standing out in red. But God says that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be washed away, completely and utterly gone forever, never to be brought up again. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is, to know that your sins have been forgiven. So he says he's seeking and he's saving. He's come to seek and to save. He can save you by the blood, by the shedding of his blood on that cross at Calvary. And also says that he's seeking you. You know, there's a few people in the Bible that tried to run away and hide from God. We're reading in Genesis in Sunday school this afternoon. Right at the beginning of Genesis with Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they tried to hide from God. And God looked for them. And there's another man in the Old Testament who you've probably done in Sunday school, I'm sure, Jonah, who tried to run away from God. And maybe you've come to this hall week by week by week, and maybe God has been speaking to you, and each time you've been saying no, you've been running away, you've been trying to hide. Maybe you've heard God saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard so many preachers standing here preaching the gospel message, and maybe each time you've run away, you've decided, actually, no, not for me. But dear friend, tonight's the night to stop running. It says the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to, came to seek and to save you. He's looking for you tonight. He's calling your name tonight. And dear friend, tonight is your opportunity to answer to that call. To answer to that great call. You might have ignored it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Maybe even years. But tonight is the night to answer that call. To answer that message, to answer to the great gospel message of salvation. What a wonderful opportunity you have tonight, dear friend, to answer that call. He's come to seek and he's come to save you. You know, I don't really have too much else to say about this. What a wonderful opportunity you have tonight to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. He's done everything and it's, you know, God's done all the work beforehand. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so simple. It says that in Acts. There was a man that was about to stab himself with a sword in Philippi. And he was a jailer. And Paul had probably only a few seconds to explain the gospel message. And he did it because the gospel message is so simple. He called out, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And that was it. It's such a simple and easy message. And it's the same message that's going out tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So we're all lost and the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking so he can save you tonight. What a wonderful opportunity you have. You can do it right here in this room right now. You know, as I said, maybe you've been thinking about this for some weeks. Each week you come up with a different excuse. But you can sit here tonight, before you go and get the sandwiches, you can pray a very simple prayer to God. You know, God, I've messed up. I know I'm a sinner and I need saving. I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my saviour. It's so simple. That's all you have to do. And he will save you. The Lord Jesus Christ will save you. It's a, you know, it's not like a if or a maybe. If you put your trust in him, he will save you. He will forgive you. There's a 100% guarantee. And then what a journey you've begun. The journey of the Christian faith starts off here in this room tonight if you put your faith and trust in him. And you can carry on for the rest of your time down here living for him. You know, there's something that we were talking about in the reading today. Not just knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, but knowing him as your Lord. Giving up everything and living for him. It's not an easy thing to do. And I don't think I'm standing here saying, oh, you know, give your life up to Jesus. It's, you know, it's so easy. It's not. And I'm not anyway mastered it at all. But it's something that we can all strive towards, to own the Lord Jesus as Lord. To surrender our lives over to him. You know, we have an opportunity tonight to recognise the Lord Jesus as Saviour. But we also have the opportunity to, from this moment on, commit our lives to him, to live for him, so that we can be watching for the moment when he comes back, to have that reality in our hearts of that one day we will see our Lord and Saviour face to face. What a hope we have as Christians, that one day we'll see the person that saved us face to face. We'll hear his voice. It says that. That's one of the first things that we'll hear. There's a trump and there's a voice. You know, you'll recognise the voice of the Lord. It will be such a familiar voice. You won't ever have heard it literally before, but you'll know who it is. What a hope we have as a Christian. What a hope you can have tonight if you put your faith and trust in him. Before you go out that door tonight, just say the simple prayer. It's so easy. And God wants you. God loves you. He's done everything for you. I pray that you may do so for his name's sake.
Amen.